Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 86 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, for the listeners at home that may not have tuned in to the video version, tell them where you are right now.
All right. Right now, I am standing in front of the Velocicoaster, which is just finished a day of technical rehearsals for the general public. I just got off of my first nighttime ride, and it was amazing. This attraction just keeps getting better and better the more times I ride it. Put in about an hour wait to get that nighttime ride, and I recommend it. Oh, there you go. There it's going.
There it goes.
You want to get out here to Universal as soon as you can to check out this. And I also got to check something else out new that we're going to talk about a little later in the show this week over at Epcot. So it's been a pretty amazing week. How is your week?
My week has been, is it bad if I say stressful?
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I like water off a duck's back. Josh is actually on the way home from the airport right now.
So
he's back in town. I think Brody is napping, but it's been a week. Lots of news, lots of lack of sleep, but we're doing all right. We're hanging in there. Yeah. Can't complain.
I'm sitting right near a speaker, so I'm going to move over a little bit. I'm trying to find a relative.
Don't get us tagged.
No, copyright. I don't want a copyright violation. No.
There we go.
So, shall we do it?
Yeah, let's get into the news. First up this week, if you are a fan of the Harlem Globetrotters and you live in Branson, Missouri, you're in luck because they are going to put on a brand new show over at Silver Dollar City.
I know I'm dating myself, but I grew up with these guys. I'm sure none of the people who were performing when I was a kid are still around. But they're kind of like an American tradition, and it's great seeing them performing with a new show.
Yeah, the show is called the Harlem Globetrotters Skills Showcase. And it will kick off Silver Dollar City Summer Festival on June 12th, and it will run until August the 8th. So if you happen to be in the area, you can check it out. It's a 30-minute long show where they're going to show off all of the tricks that you could expect. I've never seen the Globetrotters in person. Have you?
Only on Scooby-Doo.
Oh, right.
Like I said, it's been a long time. It's probably been, there we go.
Woo!
It's probably been at least 30 years. I'm going to date myself, but they always put on a good show.
Yeah, I can't wait. Hopefully someone gets some video and then I can pretend that I was there. Over at Epcot, Gelateria Toscana. I know I butchered that, but whatever.
Gelateria Toscana.
Okay. Do the hand like thing. Is opening this month over at Epcot.
It's actually open now. I was lucky enough to get to go there on Monday.
Perfect.
For a press preview. And then later that day, I'm sorry, not Monday. I think that was Wednesday. But later in the day, they opened up. They're now open to the public. And they don't just have gelato, but they have a lot of other Italian sweets. If you are looking for something cool with a little bit of a buzz, I can recommend the frozen sangrias. It's kind of like an adult slushie.
That sounds really good. Did you try any of the gelato flavors?
I tried way too much stuff for someone who was lactose intolerant.
Oh no!
I brought some of my pills, but it was. I got to try a sundae that is a mix of cookies and cream, gelato with strawberry syrup and lots of whipped cream. That was super rich. One thing that I really loved was the zeppoles, which are made with ricotta. So they're really rich, really creamy. They were just piping hot with the powdered sugar on top. Fantastic.
Well, I know what I'm going to do when I go back to Walt Disney World. Six Flags has announced some more opening dates, specifically for Six Flags New England, Hurricane Harbor, Los Angeles, and Hurricane Harbor Concord in California.
Yeah, more parks coming back is a great sign of recovery. I have not personally been to either of those parks.
Yeah, Six Flags New England will be opening up for a season pass holder and member preview on May 14th, and the general public will get to go starting May 15th. And then the two Six Flags water parks in California will open. Hurricane Harbor, Los Angeles will open on May 15th, and Concord will open on May 22nd. So good to see more parks opening back up. And speaking of water parks in California, Knott's Berry Farms Soak City Water Park has set an opening date as well for May 29th. They will be offering all the slidey fun with limited capacity and reservation requirements. Seems to be a trend across a lot of parks opening now.
Yeah, Knott's Berry Park, the theme park side of it, was one of the last in that Southern California area to officially reopen. But yeah, they have. I've heard nothing but good things about them since they've reopened, especially the new Berry Tales ride.
Oh, yes. I want to see what that's like so bad. The water park will open to gold and platinum pass holders for a special preview May 22nd, 23rd. And then it will open to the public on select dates from May 29th through September 12th. So if you are in the area looking for some summer fun to beat the heat, make sure that it's open on the days you're planning on going.
Plan ahead for sure.
Some good news for you Disney loving college students and recent graduates out there. The Disney College Program is coming back in June to Walt Disney World.
Yeah, this was a big deal for a lot of people when they had to shut it down at the beginning of the pandemic. A lot of people really broken hearted. This is a big part of a lot of people's college experience, getting to do this. And it also makes up a good chunk of the workforce in the parks. So this is great for those students who maybe got their program deferred or canceled. They're going to have another shot. And it definitely means that Disney thinks that business is going to be picking up. A little surprised this is kicking in this summer and not in the fall. Hold off to the fall semester, but it looks like they're grabbing people as soon as June.
Yeah, I did the college program once upon a time in 2016 and did the Fall Advantage program, and I started in late July or early August. I can't remember specifically, but students whose programs ended early or were suspended in the middle of their program when the parks closed last year will be able to reapply. And they're going to be implementing some changes, which I think will only make the process easier for applicants. Some of these changes include a simplified application process, a team of recruiters on social media that you can just like tweet at and ask questions if you need it. Year-long arrival dates, which is new because before it was just summer alumni programs, and then Fall Advantage, Fall, Spring Advantage, and Spring. But now I guess they're just doing away with all of that, and you just come whenever. And another huge deal is that they have modified the eligibility requirements temporarily so that students can still apply even if they graduated in the past year.
Yeah. Another big change is there is no more Vista Way.
Rest in peace.
Apartment complex where people were housed for decades. Disney's divested themselves of that. They've got a new dorm at Flamingo Crossing. You won't have those legends about Vista Way anymore.
It's probably for the best that they fade into the ether.
I think you need to call an old priest and a young priest. Get some holy water, some salt.
Oh my goodness. Some exciting news. I guess you would call this exciting. Marvel Studios Loki has a new premiere date for Disney Plus. Yep. Wednesdays are the new Fridays, so said Tom Hiddleston.
You know, I don't care what day it is. Can they just pick a time that isn't in the middle of the night?
Why can't they do prime time? Why?
Probably because their servers would be so overloaded. Everyone was
HBO did it with Game of Thrones. Every Sunday.
They had some problems, so I think by now they'd have the hamsters that run the servers running fast enough.
The series will now premiere on Wednesday, June the 9th instead of June 11th. And we'll get to see what this timeline splitting God of Mischief has been up to since the events of Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, the trailer teaser that they put out looks like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's colorful. It's got a sense of humor. And I think it's about time that we've had Owen Wilson in the MCU.
That mustache, I can't get over it. And
do you think
he
just ripped it off of William Hurt? Like he literally walked over to the
Give
Incredible
me that.
Hulk movies and just tore it off of his face.
And I can't wait to see Richard E. Grant. I love him. He was one of the only redeeming qualities of Rise of Skywalker for me, just because he was having such a good time. I hope he's a villain in this, just so I can watch him have fun again. This past week, if you live under a rock, was May the 4th and Revenge of the 5th for all you Star Wars fans out there. And there is quite a bit of new Star Wars merchandise that you can get your hands on at the parks, provided that it's not all sold out by now.
It never gets old.
Yeah. I think probably the most exciting piece of merchandise is a bundle of lightsabers. Yes. They were in a limited edition of 3,000, so there's no guarantee that there are any left, but I think I saw on social that there were.
For someone who really hated Rise of Skywalker, you seem awfully interested in this two-pack of General Leia's lightsaber with the reforged Skywalker hilt in the box. Inspired by the ending of Rise of Skywalker.
But I can like the equipment and not the movie.
Okay.
The packaging is very cool. It comes in this, it looks like a tin, like a metal box. And the lightsabers are packaged together. So you're paying for two lightsabers. You can imagine the price tag on that. They're wrapped in an orange cloth, similarly to what Rey uses at the end of the film. But when you open the box, it plays the Force theme, which is kind of silly and awesome at the same time.
It's just like the card you got for Mother's Day.
They do not come with blades, though, so that's going to be an extra.
That's extra.
An extra $60 to $80 for you.
At this point, though, you probably have, if you're the kind of person who's this into lightsabers, you probably have a collection of blades.
Oh, yeah. Some other stuff that they launched were these Darth Vader-inspired ears designed by Ashley Eckstein, and spirit jerseys, as well as this adorable collection of Disney wishables inspired by Star Tours. I love them.
Well, I have a pass to go to Hollywood Studios on Tuesday, and I want to get one of these new plush Loth cats that they've got in the creature stall.
Oh yeah!
Loth cats are adorable no matter what, but this guy is like got this blue kind of teal marking. He's very attractive.
And we've got some respect for Jar Jar as well.
Gonna let that go. I wasn't gonna bring that up. Did you have to?
We will not disrespect Jar Jar on this podcast, okay? be nice. Jar Jar is one of three new Toydarian plush that you can get at Toydarian Toymaker, the other two being Darth Maul and Doc Ondar. So definitely check that out next time you find yourself on Batuu. And, this, I was floored when they revealed this for May the 4th. They showed that lightsaber that we got to see in April as just like a throwaway thing during a Disney media presentation. So now everyone knows it's real, and I wasn't.
How do you have proof that you are not crazy?
Exactly. That's how it felt,
goodbye
though.
To the Raptors now. Goodbye,
Raptors. Bye, Raptors. It was just kind of shadow dropped on social media. And it's a video advertising Galactic Star Cruiser, the Star Wars hotel. And it shows Rey walking up and turning on the lightsaber, and it does the thing just like we talked about. But now I can't look at it and not think of a tape measure. So I think
I mean, it looks great.
But yeah, it does.
I think that video kind of shows you what it's capable of doing. She can't then just swing it around like a lightsaber. She can't hit anything with it. It's pretty much you're going to be able to pop it up and pop it down.
Yeah. But they also, with this video revealing the lightsaber, kind of low-key said, hey, Galactic Star Cruiser is delayed by a year.
Yeah, they sort of slipped that in there. Yeah. You know, I know right now that they are casting for the performers who will populate the ship. And I think that this is the kind of thing that is going to take months of testing and rehearsal. The amount of money that people are going to be paying for this, they don't want to rush it.
Mm-hmm.
They got to make sure that they've got a product that's really polished. And it's going to get good guest satisfaction ratings right out of the gate, because you can't charge someone this amount of money and not know what you're doing.
Exactly. I saw the call sheet for Rey and Kylo specifically, mm-hmm. and they want actors that specialize in hand-to-hand combat and martial arts.
Maybe we'll finally get some of the stunts and fights that we were supposed to see inside Batuu. Maybe we'll finally get those on the Star Cruiser.
Give me Jedi backflips, please. I would lose my mind. In some Halloween news, a new After Hours Boo Bash has been announced for Walt Disney World, taking place of Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which will be taking another year off this year.
Yeah, this is an interesting party. First of all, the Mickey's Not So Scary parties were always known as the Halloween party for kids and for families with small kids. You know, you're not going to take them to Halloween Horror Nights. You're taking them to Magic Kingdom. Except now these parties are starting as late as 9 or 9:30 p.m., which is pretty late. I believe traditionally the Not So Scaries would start at like 7 o'clock, and you mm-hmm. would be able to use that ticket to get into the Magic Kingdom at like 3 or 4 p.m. Now you're not getting into the park until 7 p.m. with this special event ticket, and you're only getting a three-hour event. So we'll have to see how that sells.
Yeah. The event will run on select nights from August 10th through Halloween on October 31st. And some of the events run until 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So for the little kids,
yeah,
it's going to be rough.
Late night, yeah.
You can expect to see fall decorations, the pumpkins on the lamppost, character cavalcades, candy, and kids and adults in costume. Trick-or-treating wasn't a thing last year, but it will be a thing this year. So,
yeah, I'm very curious to see how they handle candy distribution, if it's going to be something that's handed out in individually wrapped portions, if you know how they're going to do that in a safe way.
Yeah, I just picture the drive-through haunts that use like PVC pipe, and they would push the candy down them.
I was thinking just slingshots.
Oh,
you just
yes.
get a bunch of gumballs and you just aim at the kids.
If you hit them, extra 10 points.
Absolutely.
Tickets will go on sale for this next month, and there will be an early purchase window available for guests staying at Walt Disney World Resort hotels.
Have they mentioned anything about an annual pass holder discount on that?
No.
No.
Not yet. But I would keep an eye on it. And this, I never thought I would see the day. This was also part of the Halfway to Halloween announcements that Disney did last week. I passed away and then came back when they announced Muppets Haunted Mansion.
You know, I'm heartbroken. We're probably never going to get the Guillermo del Toro Haunted Mansion.
Yep, same.
This will make up for it. I will take this instead.
I was floored, let me tell you, floored, that not only are we getting a Muppets Holiday Special, but we're getting a Disney Parks Muppets Holiday Special? It feels like they read my diary. Like,
there's just so much possibilities. I don't even want to guess where they could go with this. Obviously, it looks like Gonzo and Pepe are going to be a big part of it. And they've, Uncle Deadly, who was one of the most obscure Muppet characters ever, has really made a comeback in the last couple of years. He had a sidekick role with Miss Piggy on their latest Disney Plus series, and they've highlighted him in this interactive YouTube video that they're doing about the various Haunted Mansion style attractions around the world. So I am all for a revival of Uncle Deadly. More people should recognize his creepy, eerie genius.
We love Uncle Deadly. So keep an eye out. They only released a teaser, but I highly recommend you watch it. It's very funny.
Yeah.
It will be coming this fall to Disney Plus, and I am sure that we will hear more news as it approaches, but man, I am so, so excited. So excited. And then our last bit of news in the queue before we get to the main attraction. Jurassic World Velocicoaster has soft opened at Universal's Islands of Adventure.
What's that? I haven't heard of it.
It's a new
ride?
It's a new thing with dinosaurs and it goes really fast.
Ooh. there are a lot. We've got reviews. We got videos. If you want to spoil yourself, go ahead and check out the videos that we've posted on the attractions YouTube channel. But basically, with the exception of a handful of grumpy people who will probably never be happy with anything, everyone is saying the same thing, that this is probably the, everyone is pretty much saying this is the best roller coaster at Universal Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, if not the best in Orlando, at least in top two or three in Orlando.
Yeah.
And even top two or three in Florida. And there are people who have, who go around and ride coasters all over the world that I've talked to who will put this in their top 10 easily. This is really like, there are other roller coasters in town that have individual elements that are amazing, but this is just one thing after another. It never gets boring. It never lets up. You get halfway through and you're like, that was pretty cool. And then it just kicks into high gear. The second half from the top hat on is just the most insane thing I've ever experienced. And every time, I've now done it 14 times.
What?
Every time I think I'm going to brace myself and I'll just, no, you can't brace yourself. You can't be cool. You're just going to like scream. I cackle. Like I sound like a little girl and I don't care. It is all the hype was deserved. It lives up to all the expectations, whether you like theming and a cool queue with animatronics, or you're just into serious roller coaster G-forces. This satisfies everyone.
So, being the theme park professional, where would you rank this in, like, your favorite coasters?
I mean, this is for me. It's now my number one at Universal. It edged ahead of Hagrid's. I rode Hagrid's right before I rode that tonight. Hagrid's is not as intense. Hagrid's has a lot more character and theme and storytelling and surprises. But Velocicoaster just is so extreme. It is just such an exhilarating adrenaline rush. It's hard to really compare it to anything. The only other roller coaster in Orlando that, you know, kind of, I love Manta. That pretzel loop on Manta is like nothing else. but it's a whole total package, total experience from start to finish. I got to give Velocicoaster the win right now.
I still can't believe you've been on it 14 times.
Well, so I was lucky enough that Matt invited me along. Matt, our publisher, invited me along as his date for a media event. There's no way they would have invited me by myself. But because I was tagging along with him, I squeezed in. And they said, well, you've got an hour and a half to do whatever you want. While other people were obsessively taking photos of everything in the queue. I mean, I ran through the queue. I took videos. I took pictures. But then I strapped myself in, and I did about 11 rides back to back to back to back.
How are you still alive?
my back is aching a little today. It probably wasn't so much doing it that, but then coming right back for the annual pass holder preview, and then coming back almost every day since for the soft openings. So yeah, I could probably use a break
for maybe a chiropractor.
It does look like they might have finished cycling out the trains. As you can see, poster is behind me, and it seems like it's dark at the moment. We'll see if any other trains happen to launch tonight.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I was trying to make you big, but it didn't work. But let's get into the main attraction. Big deal.
It's time for the main attraction.
We have officially hit kind of a turning point for theme parks and reopenings amidst the pandemic. Walt Disney World, Universal Orlando, and then SeaWorld Parks and Resorts across all of their parks have begun phasing out temperature checks and have reduced physical distance requirements from 6 feet to 3 feet in most cases.
Yeah. So I believe at Disney for guests, it'll be on the 16th, I think. As of the 8th, they started for employees.
Yes.
But here in Universal, where I am today, they got rid of temperature checks earlier this week. They've also downscaled all their social distancing markers. That social distancing marker you see there no longer exists anywhere I've seen at Universal. They're now just little, maybe 6-inch long blue pieces of tape, and they're now every 3 feet in the queues instead of every 6 feet, which to me means they almost don't need to be there because if 3 feet is almost what just like people naturally distance if they're, you know, not being uncomfortably close.
Yeah.
A couple of the two biggest signs of the pandemic are just gone here at Universal. They're also, to top it off at Universal, they are on many attractions filling up every row, including combining unrelated parties into the same row of a vehicle. On the shows, they are filling every row of seats, still leaving two empty seats between parties, but no longer leaving full empty rows. The masks are still here and mandatory for now. That hasn't changed. But in a lot of ways, a lot of the outward signs of the pandemic and social distancing are really rapidly disappearing here in Orlando.
Since you're in the park after they've made these changes, how does it feel to you as a guest?
I'll be brutally honest. I am now fully vaccinated. Everyone in my household is fully vaccinated. So I feel a lot more relaxed, personally. I am not worried about it for myself personally anymore. I don't necessarily know that all the guests who are coming here from other states that maybe haven't, got vaccinated as widely as we are here in Central Florida. There are a certain amount of concerns. I got to admit, I really got used to having my car socially distanced in the parking lot so it didn't get dinged by the, person opening the door next to me. And I liked having a full 6 feet of room behind me so people weren't on my heels in the queues. But, now that I've had my two jabs and waited, I feel personally pretty secure going into these less socially distanced situations.
I think that is probably going to be the big thing for me is the bubble of space, the 6 feet of distance, and the crowds. I think that will be the thing for me to reacclimate to.
It's going to be psychologically difficult for a lot of people who have spent, the last year and a half being paranoid, and with good reason, always, watching your back and seeing who's around you to let down your guard. Even if the CDC says that you're vaccinated and you don't have to worry, it's still kind of, you've been practicing that duck and cover for a year and a half and you can't just turn it off like a light switch.
Yeah, we are well trained at this point.
Yeah.
All of these announcements came just about a week after Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings shared the three-phase plan for Orlando to kind of slowly do away with the various health and safety protocols, like physical distance requirements, mask mandates, and the like. Though, since the theme parks are private property, they can choose to follow those phases to the letter or selectively.
It's a little awkward here in Florida because our county mayor, Demings, is pretty much in an all-out war with our governor, DeSantis. Our governor has basically said all regulations are null and void, and our county mayor is saying, well, I'm going to do what's best for our local community. The bottom line is, no matter what you hear on the news, no matter what you hear from a politician, the only person you need to pay attention to is the company whose park you're going to. So whatever is on Disney's website or Universal's website, whatever it says on the signs when you're in the park, that's what goes. Don't argue with a cast member or team member saying, well, I heard on the radio that we don't have to social distance anymore. We don't have to wear masks anymore. Follow whatever the rules are that are being observed in the park, the private property you're attending.
Yes. Be nice, too.
Please be nice.
Please be nice.
Because I am anecdotally hearing a lot more stories.
Same.
About people, having been to throw out or people being abusive towards... There's no excuse to be abusive towards a frontline team member. They don't make the rules. They're just trying to enforce it to keep everyone safe and to keep their jobs.
Agreed. Be nice. And before we go, I have some shout-outs this week.
Yay, shout!
In case you didn't know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription service. And if you choose the club or VIP tiers, you get a shout out the week after you subscribe on the Attractions podcast. So big applause and thank yous to Juanita Martin and Sandra Flores. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And if you are interested, you can pick up our spring 2021 issue, available now at attractionsmagazine.com/store. And I'm sure that the summer issue will be following most swiftly.
Oh, yes. In fact, I think there might even be something about the Velocicoaster in there. Just as
soon
as I finish writing it. And, what you can also do if you want to help us out is to head on over to Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star review. Help spread the word about Attractions. And you can also catch up with us on social media and on the interwebs. I am at S. Kuberski or at the UG series, and you can find my books at theunofficialguides.com. Brittany, where can they find you and Attractions Magazine?
They can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, as well as every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us for the past hour and some change.
Well,
and
you've been hanging out with Brittany for the past hour and change. You've been hanging out with me for about 30 minutes.
Well,
sorry about that.
I apologize to them at the top of the show. It's like, sorry, you're stuck with me.
You know what? Sometimes when you are an investigative reporter in the deadly, dangerous world of theme parks, sometimes things happen, you know? Or as,
that's
they,
why
say, as they say on the Velocicoaster ride, what could possibly go wrong? But luckily, the adventure does continue.
And until next week and our next adventures, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, get vaccinated if you haven't already, and we'll see you next time.
Bye!